Hello, and welcome to the Affordable Housing Tips radio show. My name is Mark Lynn, and I'll be your host. We're broadcasting our show courtesy of Access Humboldt on KZZH 96.7 FM in Humboldt County, California. In today's show, we will continue our interview with Lucy Cunningham, founder of The Home Share in Dublin, Ireland. You can hear the first part of the interview at affordablehousingtips.com under radio shows. Before the break, Lucy mentions tax benefits for home sharing in Ireland, and my co-host, Elizabeth Blessing, discusses Ireland's housing crisis with Lucy. Then in the second half of the show, Lucy talks about home sharing's financial benefits, including some of the ways seniors can save pretty good amounts of money. So let's go ahead and get started with today's show and hear more of this terrific international interview.
Yeah, it's great. It's funny, in the UK, they obviously have very different laws and rules and policies than we do in Ireland. But just information that's trickling down from Homeshare UK and Homeshare International is that the House of Lords in London, basically any law that's passed, it has to be passed, you know, it's passed by government and then it goes up to the House of Lords, who have to pass it again. And they had a big debate about, you know, taxes and kind of council tax and things like that. And they're actually making a special dispensation that people who are involved in home sharing do not have to pay council tax, which is amazing. Wow. So, you know, countries around the world are really starting to look at home sharing in a different light. I think I truly, especially in Ireland, I know from personal experience, I know the Irish government now have actually started taking home sharing extremely seriously. And it's now actually one of their policies, which I'm delighted to hear about. Wow. So we've been lobbying, well, I have been lobbying the government since I started this 2 years ago. And I joke, but, you know, there is probably a bit of truth to it. I was kind of expecting to get a summons to court for a barring order against me with the government because I was knocking their door down so much. But they finally, I think maybe they did it just to keep me quiet. The Irish government recently published a policy document on housing options for our aging population. And if you like, I'll send you on a link to it later on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but one of them, yeah, so what one of their actions is home sharing, which is amazing. So, you know, we're hoping to hopefully start working with them. You know, time will tell. The government, I don't know what the government in America are like, but in Ireland, they're pretty slow. They're great at talking, but they're a bit slower at the action.
Well, you know, so, Lucy, your agreement to do this interview has given us an idea. We are talking, Elizabeth and I have decided we're going to call this series Home Sharing Around the World. And
I
think it's great. And what you've just said this last few minutes here gives me a great idea that perhaps your success over there in influencing your government, you may have noticed in the headlines, we do have a bit of a housing issue in this country, to put it mildly. And it would be wonderful if the things that you have stimulated over there could be, you know, emulated to some extent over here as well. That would be, but you know, before we go on, I need to defer to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the brains of this operation, and I'm not being modest when I say that. And she is very,
aren't
very... Pardon me?
Aren't most women.
Well, yeah, actually they are. I have an advantage compared to a lot of guys. I was raised by a single woman. My mom was pretty much on her own. And it was actually kind of a revelation to me when I got out into the world to find that that just wasn't the normal course of things. My mom was such a strong-willed individual that I was rather amazed to find that in some situations that wasn't the case. But yeah, to me, I kind of take that for granted. But I wanted to check with Elizabeth where we should go next in terms of questions. We've got so many things, mm-hmm. What do you think, Elizabeth?
Well, I've got a couple questions for Lucy. I would love to hear a success story example, but before we get to that, I wanted to ask a couple questions regarding what's going on in Ireland's housing market. In the United States, we've got an affordable housing crisis. We live near San Francisco, a few hours drive, I would say, from San Francisco. And you might be aware of this, Lucy, that in San Francisco, the housing market is outrageous. Working class people simply can't afford the rents that are being charged right now, and it's a supply and demand issue. And so I'm wondering if there is something similar going on in Dublin and in Ireland's housing market that makes home sharing a popular housing solution.
Yeah, we're extremely similar, Elizabeth, very similar. So Ireland is actually experiencing the worst housing crisis ever, you know, since time began. And actually, I was, doing some research recently, and I came across a UN rapporteur on housing actually sent a letter to the Irish government in March of this year, noting how heavy private housing investment has been making housing in Ireland significantly unaffordable. So this UN rapporteur actually was basically condemning the Irish government, for causing a lot of the issues, a lot of the housing problems. This letter said that the situation was being made worse by land hoarding. So basically, we have a lot of investors sitting on vacant land at the moment in Ireland, which is restricting supply. And as you said, it's restricting supply and thus increasing the demand and the value. So at the moment, the average rent in Dublin, with Dublin being the capital city of Ireland, the average rent per month is $1,982, which is about $2,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I suppose to put it into more perspective, I spoke to a young girl who was over studying, and I said to her, where are you living? And she said, she was living right in the center of Dublin. And I said, okay, how much are you paying in rent? And she said, €400, which is about $450 a month. I said, that's amazing. That's incredible. That's so good. And how many people are you living with? And she said, I'm living with three other people. I said, that's really good. I said, who? And she said, I'm living with a couple and another single guy and me. I said, that's amazing. Like, you're very lucky. But it turned out that she wasn't just living with them. She was sharing a bedroom with these three people.
Wow.
So she's paying $450 a month to share a bedroom with three strangers.
Wow.
So that's where we're at.
Holy mackerel, yeah.
I interviewed another potential sharer before, and he had just come, and he was asked to pay something similar, nearly about €100 a week in rent, $450 a month. And the room had three bunk beds in it. So there were six guys in a room. Actually, sorry, there were seven, because the landlord was so lovely. He actually put a mattress on top of a wardrobe with a little stepladder beside it. And that was another thing. Our housing situation is off the scale here. It's off the scale.
I was just going to say, one of the things that's going on here in the United States is that it's housing also for middle-class people. It's not, it's this problem has expanded to the fact that even people who have good jobs, who are hardworking, who are professionals, can't afford to live anywhere close to where their jobs are located, especially in the big cities. And I imagine it's similar to that in Dublin. Right now, what we call it is workforce housing. So people that are necessary for a community and vital for a community to be thriving, people like teachers and nurses and emergency responders and police officers, can't afford to live in the cities that they serve.
Absolutely. An interview I heard recently on the radio, there were about 20 new recruits, newly qualified police officers, and they had to leave, like, the police force, because they couldn't afford the accommodation wherever they were stationed. It's like, as you say, healthcare professionals, the people just can't afford the high rent. And but we also, you know, we don't have a supply of houses like your average. So in Ireland, your average house for a family would be, you know, like a 3-bed semi-detached house. And we've never had such little supply in Ireland that we have now. People, even if people were lucky enough to have a deposit to put on a house, the houses aren't there for them to buy. But then going back before that, back a few steps, because the rent is so high, people cannot afford to save a deposit to buy their own house, even if they were lucky to find a house that's for sale.
Yeah.
People finding a house, you know, where they want to live, close to their work or family, those days are gone because it's just too expensive. I mean, even the area I grew up in, a lovely part of Dublin, and I can't afford, you know, I couldn't afford the prices of houses. So I'm on the total other side of the city. But people now are having to, we call commuter towns, commuter belts.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, a 4-hour round trip every day is not unusual.
Good grief. Yeah.
So, you know, now obviously home sharing at the moment, it's still a very new concept. It will be my hope in the future that people's minds will open up to different possibilities for home sharing. You know, I hated doing it, but I had to turn a potential sharer away because she was looking for a house for herself, her husband, and her two children. But this lady was actually a doctor, a general practitioner. Hmm. And how amazing would it be to have your own resident doctor living with you? But unfortunately, you know, I know there will be, down the line, there are a lot of older people who don't have their family near them because the family can't afford to buy a house near them.
Yeah.
Or their family might live in a different part of the country or a different part of the world. So I would love in the future if maybe even single parents with their children or married couples with their children could move in with an older person. So the older person has another young generation in their home to bring more life back into their home. And the younger people will learn more from the older generation. It'll keep the older generation young. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend that for teenagers. Speaking from experience, you wouldn't want to be living with teenagers. You know, hopefully the possibilities of home sharing are endless. They really are. But it's all about people opening up their minds to new possibilities for everyone's benefit.
You're listening to KZZH 96.7 FM in Humboldt County, California. KZZH has been brought to the air by Access Humboldt. You can reach Access Humboldt at their website, accesshumboldt.net. The Affordable Housing Tips radio show is produced by affordablehousingtips.com. Whether you're affected directly by rapidly increasing housing prices, or if you're just curious about the various things creative people all over the world are doing to deal with the problem of affordable housing, you just might enjoy our website. So come on over. It's affordablehousingtips.com. Check us out. Leave us feedback on our contact page. Listen to past episodes and get your free report, 7 Ways to Save Thousands of Dollars Each Year on Housing, when you sign up for your free e-newsletter.
Is there a reason why, I mean, if someone, let's say just hypothetically, an older person had a really big house, you know, maybe they had a family fortune or something with a great big home.
Yes.
Is there some legal or some specific reason why, say, maybe a woman with a couple of kids or even a family, if there was enough room, is there a reason why that couldn't be done today?
No, it's completely down to personal choice for the householder. So, you know, now I'm very mindful of safeguarding in our home share agreement. And we actually, one of the terms is that neither party, specifically the sharer, cannot be a beneficiary of the householder's last will and testament. Yeah, because I suppose having worked in the home care sector, you know, we have seen time and time again where maybe some family members don't see their parents or their family members maybe as much as they should. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are busy, which is absolutely fine, but others, they're just not bothered, unfortunately. Now, luckily, that's unusual, but in some cases it does happen. So the last thing we want is for the householder to have a sharer move in, and the sharer literally becomes their family. And then if the householder passed away, the sharer or the householder has handed the house or written the house over to the sharer. Obviously, the family members are not going to be happy about that. So, you know, we're basically, you know, ticking all the boxes to ensure that everyone is happy with this.
Okay, I
see. But in terms of like family moving in, or a couple, or, you know, a couple with children, or a single parent with children. And that's really down to the householder. It's down to their personal choice. Some people think, you know, they might feel that the house is being overrun with too many people. They might feel that it's not their home anymore because they're outnumbered. So it is something that hasn't come up in the past for somebody, you know, to open up their home to that possibility. But in time, who knows? You know, I know there are plenty of people, older people out there who may never have had their own family, or their grandchildren live away, and they would love the sound of children in the house, or, you know, more voices. I mean, I have one of our householders is a retired teacher, and the sharer who lives with her, although her English is probably 95% fluent, she might be stuck on a couple of words. And the lady she lives with, being a retired teacher, she loves helping her with her grammar. So mm-hmm. It gives her kind of a sense of, do you know what? You know, I still have something to offer. You know, my life isn't over yet. I still have a lot of things to offer people. So hopefully in time, people will open up to different possibilities. We've also spoken to single parents actually as well, who might need a bit of help with their children, and having a sharer is actually cheaper than having an au pair. So it's not just older people. It can also be people with disabilities. It could be single parents. I know I'm a single parent. my three children, my youngest was 5 months old when myself and my ex-husband separated, and I didn't have any money for babysitting or, you know, to pay a babysitter. So I would have loved to go out a couple of nights a week with friends, but I couldn't afford it. So if I had had an extra room, I would totally have opened it up to a sharer, because it would have been a bit of company for me. It would have been, do you know what? I can go out to my friends knowing that I know and trust the person I've left with my children, and not having to pay them for it as well. So there are loads and loads of different opportunities for home sharing out there.
Yeah. In a case like that, the kids would benefit too, because instead of having a parading cast of strangers like with daycare, they would have someone they got to know and trust and, you know, bond with, as they say. And that's, of course, extremely good for children. I think that's widely understood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, even I was thinking about this before, but, you know, somebody who maybe travels a lot, you know, they might think, oh, I really hate my house is empty, you know, most of the week, you know. They could look at home sharing as well. And another scenario that we have come across a lot, actually, unfortunately, we have had some of our householders pass away, you know, after starting home sharing. Mm-hmm. But because the sharer becomes literally part of the family members left behind actually ask the sharer, can you stay living in the house until it's sold? Because we would prefer someone is in the house for security.
Sure.
So it really, you know, there are so many different scenarios and different case studies for home sharing. But the one that I suppose saves the most money is for older people. That saves mm-hmm. the older person. It saves the government. It saves obviously younger people on their housing. In terms of how much money they save, when I work out, so if somebody was paying, so I don't know how much home care or home support costs in America, but in Ireland it costs nearly $30 an hour. And so the sharer, and so somebody might have to pay, you know, maybe, you know, $28 an hour for someone maybe to come in and cook them dinner or to take them shopping. And that's a lot of money. So if you multiply that by 10, that's a lot of money for a pensioner.
Well, yeah.
If you also consider some people really don't like being in the house on their own at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Some people want the security of knowing that there's someone there in case of an emergency. And In Ireland, the cheapest, so when I'm comparing the cost benefits, I always compare to the cheapest available other solution or other option at the moment. So the cheaper option at the moment, if you want someone to live with your mum or dad at nighttime, just to be a presence in the house, that would cost €80 per night, which would be, you know, over $100 per night. And that would be cash mm-hmm. in hand.
Yeah.
And there's no security remnants at all. So when you add up the €80 every night and the nearly $30, $300 a week, you know, based on the 10 hours a week, the householder saves over €3,000 a month by home sharing.
Wow.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going by the cheapest way, the cheapest, mm-hmm. cheapest way possible. But with that, you don't have anyone there monitoring the arrangement either. You know, they're, mm-hmm. You know, they're being there because they're paid to be there. They're not there because they want to be there.
Yeah.
With on the flip side of that, for the sharer, they are saving on average about €1,000 a month, so maybe $1,200 a month on their accommodation. Mm-hmm. So within a couple of years of saving, suddenly they have a deposit that they can buy their own house with.
Okay,
or pay off their student loan debt.
Pay off, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So that would be the saving, you know, on the individuals. There are also other savings as well, like long term. You know, a lot of people, they might have to move to a nursing home because they need security at night. So suddenly they have to sell their house, to sell their home, to pay that, for that, that nursing home cost. But in our experience, older people will not and do not want to do that. It's, I'm always amazed with older people. They are, most of them are so selfless. They don't see their home as their home. They see their home as their children's inheritance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you come across that, but certainly in Ireland, there's a real sense of that. So if you say to an older person, look, you really need some support, you know, why don't you sell the house and move to a smaller apartment or move to a nursing home? And they're like, no, I can't do that because this is your home. I have to leave this to you when I'm gone.
Okay.
So, so by home sharing, they're securing their home if that's what they want to do. They're securing their home for their loved ones when they're gone. And then obviously home sharing saves the government and the departments of health and housing and social security a lot of money, a lot of money. So I think that's why the Irish government now are starting to really take home sharing seriously, because they're seeing the benefits of it.
Right.
It's like I said in the beginning.
So rather than...
It's a no-brainer.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
Yeah. I was just going to make the point that in the United States, a lot of people end up in nursing homes. And if there's a program called Medicaid, which is the long-term care nursing home, for those people who are destitute and don't have any money to pay for a nursing home otherwise. And it costs the government a tremendous amount of money. Each and every month. And so there's this new, it's not really new, but it's been going on for a while, the concept of aging in place. And that sounds what you're talking about, Lucy. You're talking about aging in place at home.
That's exactly what the Irish government are doing now. That's their policy statement, really, is that, well, you know, they've done lots of research. So they said 66% of people over the age of 65, their wish is to remain living at home. That is their wish. Now, I think it might be more than that, but that's the official figure from the government, is 66% of people wish to remain living in their own home. So that's what the government have listened to the Irish people, and they're now, you know, putting together policies and action plans to try and help those people, to enable them to remain living in their own homes, in their own communities. And there's a real push in Ireland now to push healthcare away from clinical settings, you know, from away from hospitals, away from nursing homes, and back in, out into the community, whether that be someone's own home or in assisted living, or not assisted living, but maybe you know, supported living communities where you have your own, you know, one or two bedroom apartment. But there might be like a supervisor living in another apartment, and you ring a bell and they're just around the corner and they'll pop into you to make sure you're okay. So there is a big push here as well, like America, for the community, you know, for aging in place, which is, and it saves, in one sense, it saves the government a lot of money. In another sense, it may not, because, you know, the proof is there, the stats have show that when people remain living at home, they live longer because they're happier and they're fitter and healthier. Certainly with home sharing, Home Share UK have done an awful lot of study around home sharing, and the study shows that you know, there is a significant decrease in the risk of falls amongst older people who home share. There is a huge decrease in loneliness and social isolation. There is a decrease in depression. There is an increase in appetite. There's an increase in mobility. It's all the good stuff. It's all, there's a decrease in the bad stuff, and there's an increase in all the good stuff. So the government, you know, and so the aging population, you know, we will, you know, they say now that the babies born now are the centenarian generation. They will all live. Most of them will live to be over 100. So we really have to pull up our socks and start looking at serious ways of enabling people to stay living where they want to, but also, you know, save money for everyone, the government, including the individuals.
Thank you for listening to the Affordable Housing Tips radio show. This show has been brought to you by Access Humboldt on KZZH 96.7 FM in beautiful Humboldt County, California. Our bumper music is called Soul and Mind by Ease Jammy Jams. For free resources on how to save money on housing, be sure to check us out at affordablehousingtips.com. Listen to past episodes and get your free bonus report, 7 Ways to Save Thousands of Dollars Each Year on Housing. Again, thanks for listening. This is Mark Lynn, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Affordable Housing Tips radio show.